So the outline of the talk will be a quick introduction, a bit of background on our approach, and what are our goals. I'll be going through the key features of what Muradora does. And then I'm also looking behind Muradora, because in order for Muradora to do what it does, there's actually a few components that we've built in. And in my opinion, these components are actually more useful in some sense than what Muradora offer. And I'll quickly go through, our live DVD that you can download from our website if you want to try out our software, and some further information, contacts, and our project websites. So the RAMP project, RAMP stands for Research Activity Middleware Priorities. It's a very silly name, but essentially, the RAMP project came from the Systemic Infrastructure Initiative funding. So previously, I was working for the MAMS, which was also funded from that SII funding. And it was in that project where we start to look at some of the issues that we trying to now address with RAMP. In particular, issues around authentication, authorization, search services, and metadata management. So we did some initial research and prototypes in the MAMS project. And so in the third round of the SII funding, we got the funding for the RAMP project. And there were two areas. One's to do with the people-oriented workflow, so that's not really my area. The other is called DRAMA, which is around digital repository architecture for, sorry, authorization middleware architecture. And that's basically to do with how to implement open standard authentication and authorization for protected repositories. So the requirements coming into RAMP is quite simple. What the SII was looking for was to enhance collaboration between researchers. So how do you enhance collaboration? That's basically how to access and search across institutional repositories, which are often protected, and how to provide easy-to-use and maintain access control policy with very little sysadmin intervention. The other requirement is, of course, how to preserve it. And that means you need to provide facilities for digitizing research output. And also, because the research data needs to be preserved, that typically means that the access control requirements will also change over time, because as research data come out of embargo, for example, they need to be made public or make available to a certain group of people. That's the change in access control. And so you need to provide some way to cater for changing access control requirement as it over time. When we start looking around at what the current repositories are offering, what we found that the authentication and authorization are typically embedded and sometimes proprietary. The access control requirements are very hard to change. The configuration, you often need some sysadmin or someone with expert knowledge of the system to configure the system for you. And all that means is that provisioning access to that system and also auditing for that system is also very difficult. At that time, when we start looking at it, there were very little repository out there that offer federated access, which means that they don't support things like shipless authentication or any other kind of SAML authentication technology. And a lot of repository are, because they're proprietary, they're embedded, that means that if you go with a particular vendor, then typically you'll be locking with that vendor. And in our opinion, all of those above were obstacles to research collaboration and preservation. So I guess the next question is then, why did we develop Muradora? In fact, first, why did we choose to work on Fedora? Well, I mean, Fedora is actually a very widely used repository. It's widely recognized as being very scalable. Many repositories out there can store up to many millions of objects. And what I do like about it myself is that it has a very nice object model, in the sense that it doesn't, conform you, force you to go to particular object model, such as like DSpace. You can have many different data stream for a particular object. For example, you can have a journal, and one data stream would be a Word output, another could be the LaTeX output, another could be sort of like the PDF of that. And all of that would share the same metadata, and all that would be encapsulated inside one object. They also have this nice feature of having disseminated, which are essentially reusable web services, so that you know a particular data stream can be used as input to that disseminator, and then it renders the output based on what the disseminator is programmed to do. And I'll have an example of that later in our example, where we're trying to use Muradora to house e-learning object. In particular, we were housing IMS object, and we can show that you know using disseminator, you can play an IMS object from within the repository, not just storing the actual IMS object. The other thing is, so that's what's so good about Fedora. So why did we choose to develop another Fedora GUI? I mean, after all, out there, there's a lot of Fedora GUIs, Fez and Vital, for example. Well, the key thing that we want to demonstrate that many Fedora GUI hasn't really demonstrated, in my opinion, is the flexible access control, support for federated identity, supporting multiple metadata schemas. So one particular object, you know, you can have many different metadata schema about that object. And the last one, which I think is also extremely important, is when you have multiple GUIs, each GUI configure for a particular use case, so a particular, basically a particular use, all talking to the same single Fedora repository, so that you can leverage the use of, backup and versioning that Fedora offer, without having to go and deploy a new repository and having, you know, then to wire them all up and do search across them in the first place. So that's what Muradora offer. So to go into more details, in terms of flexible access control, we basically refactor the way Fedora does their access control because we believe that the way they did it wasn't very good, especially their use of XAML. So we develop a new architecture which can be plugged on top of Fedora without any code change to Fedora itself. So if you want to use our access control framework, you can just simply install Fedora and then plonk in the new framework that we have for access control. We develop a very simple access control GUI for the end user. And the key thing that we have that Fedora out of the box doesn't is this very intuitive hierarchical policy. That is, you can set a policy for a particular collection, and then it's automatically inherited by every object within that collection. Whereas in Fedora, when you basically want to set a, you know, an access control policy, you really set a policy for every single object. And also, so if you have, you know, like if you change a policy, you're effectively, you know, changing many other objects. You're not often aware of which object this particular policy applies to if you use the Fedora access control out of the box. And we also don't want any end user exposure to any raw XML file, that is the XAML policies. And of course, the reason why everyone wants to use XAML is the fact that the access control criteria are not fixed. And so we develop a GUI that is extensible so that as your access control requirement change over time, you can develop new criteria and then plug into the GUI and then have that access control use the new criteria. The other thing that we want to demonstrate with Muradora is that it can support many different types of metadata. The reason for that is because Fedora, at the end of the day, it doesn't really care. The only thing it requires is that every object needs to have a DC metadata for that, or a Dublin Core metadata for that object. So what you don't want to do is, if you have a new metadata for your object, you don't want to have to rework the GUI to support that object. So that's why our solution for that is to use this technology called XForm, which is a W3C standard. So if your digital object, say, it needs to have mods at its metadata format to support, if you go out there and you find on the web, which we happen to do, and we found that someone has already developed an XForm script for that mods metadata, you can simply plug that into Muradora, and you get the benefit of having validation and form input validation and all that for you for free without having to, you know, rework your GUI logic in any big way. So by using this XForm standard, it provides a nice framework so that you can support new metadata as they come online. And if someone has developed the XForm script for it, you can go right ahead and just reuse that that script. finally, to support multiple GUIs talking to a single Fedora instance, the reason why we leave that is because, as I said before, Fedora is ideal for being as an institutional repository because of its scalability. Now, an IR will typically require many different GUI facets to it for different purposes. So, for example, you can have an institutional repository and you can have a researcher having sort of like a portlet way of uploading their research output to that Fedora repository, or you can have Muradora acting as your basically front end to your institutional repository for people to, you know, do course reading material or pass exam papers and things like that as well, all in the same instance of the Fedora repository. So we developed Muradora based on the Spring based on the Spring framework. So that makes it very flexible because it's based on the inversion of control principle. And because Muradora leveraged our new authorization framework, it means that even though you can access the repository from all these different interfaces, your access control will be consistent across all these different interfaces. So if you're not allowed to particular access to collection from this interface, if you try to go by another GUI, that same access control will still kick in because the access control actually sits on the Fedora side, not on the GUI side, which is what you typically find in many of the Fedora repository GUI out there. They actually have the access control embedded on their GUI. And so that's basically the reason why they cannot support multiple GUIs, because you can always bypass it if you go by another interface. And finally, the licensing for us is our Muradora is completely free. It's released under the Apache 2. But I guess more importantly, every component, every dependency software that we use is also open source software. And at the moment, our goal is basically to get as many adoption as possible and to finesse Muradora to each specific use case. So if you have a particular need for a repository GUI to do a certain thing, our hope is that we can work together and customize Muradora to that particular need. So behind the GUI, these were the things that we actually did before we developed Muradora. We recognized the need to have better XAML support than what Fedora offer out of the box. So we develop a whole bunch of features that we basically call extended XAML support. Of course, we factor the way Fedora does its XAML authorization. So we call this new Fedora, our Fedora XAML authorization framework. And we also develop shibboleth support for Fedora. And this module is actually not only used for Fedora, it has been also used for providing shibboleth support for things such as grid services, federated search, and things like that. So this component is also reusable. So just a quick overview of what is XAML. So XAML is basically a standard developed by Oasis, where you define your access control policy. Instead of having embedded in some database lookup table, you actually define it in an XML file that sits externally to the application. The idea there is that, for example, the policy should apply across disparate heterogeneous applications. So you can well imagine if, say, DSpace in the future were configured to support XAML, and you have DSpace and Fedora, in theory, you could have one policy store and have both these repository understand the same set of policy being set from that same policy store. So by having the access control in this external file, it means that when you're changing the requirement, it means that you don't actually have to modify the code. So changing access control control means that you just have to go and modify the XAML policies or the XML file. And of course, if the policies are written in a reasonably high-level policy language, it means that if someone without actually having to understand the code, they can go look at the policy and do a proper auditing of your system. So that means that you don't actually have to go and look up the database table for the permission and roles and things like that. You can just look at the policy and then get a good overview of what the access control for the system is. And so that provides a lot of help for auditors. The current implementation of XAML is 1.1, but now the actual standard has actually gone up to XAML 3, I believe. Soon will be released version 3. There hasn't been any implementation of, or free one that I know of XAML 2. So my only wish is that they shouldn't be allowed to make a new standard until they actually have a reference implementation. But so because some of the features we actually needed for our work was found in XACMO2, so that's why we had to go and did the actual work. And so that's all in the extended XACMO support. So those were the nice things about XACMO. So, but the reason why XACMO is not really widely used is when you verify the policy for consistency, it's actually a very hard problem, because if there are multiple policy to match a particular request, that is, like if I want to do something, and if there are multiple policy that matches that particular request, then XACMO will, you know, define this thing called a combination algorithm where they specify, you know, if the first one is found, then that takes precedent, or if it's a permit, then that takes precedent. So you have a myriad of different combination algorithm and things like that. So at the end of the day, it's basically a set of rules that is very hard to verify if there's multiple matches. The other thing that makes XACMO difficult to use is that there's no policy editor out there. So that means that if you want to use XACMO, you, at the end of the day, you end up having to edit a bunch of XML files, which is not what the end user really, you don't want to expose that to the end user. The Sun reference implementation lack another important feature, which is how to manage your policy files. In their system, they basically expect you to have all the policy files on the file system. But if you have a, you know, if you want to have a reasonably mature system, you need a way of query the policy, be able to update, delete the policy, just like any other, you know, things. One of the key features that we needed in XACMO 2 was this concept of hierarchical resource profile. And this is where we actually needed to support the fact that by setting a policy at a collection level, it automatically filter out and apply to all the objects within that collection and its children. So that's basically where the hierarchical resource profile would have helped us. But they didn't have that, so we actually went ahead and developed something for that. And the other thing that we found difficult was the lack of XACMO vocabulary for repositories. So as I said before, XACMO policy files are supposed to be defined in a reasonably high-level language, not very specific to a particular API for a particular repository. It should be at a very generic level that can be applied across all these different repositories like DSpace or Fedora. So in terms of our support for XACMO, we use the free DBXML from Oracle, and that's an XML database. So by sticking the XACMO policy there, it allows us to actually query and find which policies match a particular request. So we also then provide a web service interface to this policy store. And also by having a XML database at the back end there, it means that your system can now be, the system can support a very large number of XACMO policies. And it also means that when a given request comes in, we dynamically generate an XPath request, and that pull and that XPath request would pull the set of applicable policy. So basically, when the Sun engine actually do the evaluation, it doesn't have to look through thousands of policy. It can just simply look through a smaller subset of applicable policy. We develop a new hierarchical policy combination algorithm. This is the one where basically I think our policy combination algorithm is quite simple. That is, if there's a policy specifically for that object or the data stream, that will take precedent over the policy that was set at the parent collection or the, at the parent level. That includes the object level or the parent collection level. So it's a pretty standard sort of like hierarchical algorithm. And of course, we also provide a web service interface for the XACMO request and response. Now, going to why we develop a new framework for the XACMO authorization for Fedora. Well, Fedora recognized the need for something like XACMO, so they basically put XACMO in version 2.1.1 of their Fedora code. But there's actually no proper management of the XACMO policies. So their policy basically sit on the file system, and there's no real editor for how to create the policy, manage the policy. I think in the later version they actually have a policy editor, but at the end of the day it's still looks pretty much like an XML spy kind of thing. It doesn't really provide you with any guidance, and especially it's definitely not something that you want to expose to the end user if you want to make ExactMore as widely available to the researcher. The other thing that we found a big problem with the Fedora implementation of ExactMore is that the policy enforcement point is deeply embedded in the Fedora code. That means that whenever you need to basically, you know, set a new criteria that you want to use, you actually have to modify the Fedora code to support that. And so what that means is if you want to support a new set of access control criteria, you're basically forking Fedora and, you know, hoping that the next version of Fedora is, you know, you're going to be able to patch that against the next version of Fedora. There's, of course, no hierarchical enforcement, and there's no way to see what the current access control for a given object is. And at the end of the day, all that means that their ExactMore implementation is really intended for the sysadmin, and it's really not intended to be exposed to the end user, whereas what we want to do is to extend that to the end user. So we follow this authorization pattern called the interceptor pattern, where basically we put a bunch, like we put a layer in front of the Fedora repository. So a request comes in from the GUI, and it gets intercepted by that layer, and it will say, for example, if the GUI wants to access a particular document, that layer will kick in and say, is the person allowed to do a read on a read operation on this object? And if the authorization interceptor layer then basically query the ExactMore engine, get back a yes or no answer. And if it's a yes, then allow the request to proceed to the repository, and the repository returns the results. Now, the interceptor layer can also intercept the response and filter out the response before returning it to the GUI. Where that might be useful is, of course, in the search result, because when the user executes a search query, the interceptor layer would simply say, are you allowed to do a search operation? Now, the repository would return you a list of objects that, you know, matches that search criteria. Then the interceptor layer would then kick in and, you know, filter out the results that the user is allowed on. Will filter out the results that the user are not allowed to see. So the advantage of this pattern is, of course, it's modular. It can be plugged on top of Fedora without changing anything in Fedora code. And the repository, in our opinion, shouldn't do anything to do with access control at all. A repository should really focus on its core functionality, which is search, indexing, versioning, and things like that. And basically, by having this layer there, you no longer have to worry about how to, you know, do authorization or authentication in your repository. Basically, it's a much nicer way of actually writing your system. So a bit about our implementation. We basically implement that for the way for the web services interface of Fedora, as well as the REST interface of Fedora. Basically, the way you talk to Fedora repository is via those two way. Of course, there are other ways, such as OAI, PMH, and SIU, and things like that. And we are now currently working on actually building the authorization layer for those other services too. But the two key main interface to Fedora is via the web services and via the REST interface. Finally, we also provide this module which allow Fedora to be shibboleth, because shibboleth is really intended for web services, but the way you talk to Fedora is via web services. So we basically produce this module that allows you to have shibboleth for web services into objects as well. So I won't go into too much detail, but it's basically, it's a key module to allow you to have multiple GUI talking to a single instance of Fedora and supporting shibboleth at the same time as well. Finally, I probably want to show you that, because we intentionally make our system into different components for a good reason, because we want to make sure that, you know, these components can be substituted and reused and things like that. But of course, that means that if you want to try it out, it's actually very difficult. And a lot of people who tried our system in the first place found it extremely hard to go and install all the different components and actually correctly wire them together. So what we did was then we took a Gnopix, Gnopix, a Ubuntu CD and turned that into a DVD. So if you go to our website, which I'll put a URL later, you can download that DVD, put it into your system, boot up, and actually have the whole repository running from that particular machine. And if you like it, you can actually then use the Ubuntu easy install method and just click and install, and you have an up and running system with everything on it in one go. So of course, I didn't do all this. So we basically have four other developers in our team, Nishan, Kung, Damon, and Marcus. And you know, they all did a great job on that particular system, because we've really only started for 1 year, really. So if you want more information, I was going to show some demo, but I don't think I have time. But if you want to try out Muradora without doing anything, you can just go to the demonstration site, which is demo.muradora.org. And when you go there, you can try out a lot of the system, a lot of the features. To find out more how you can play around with it, you can go to our wiki, and actually there's a demo link there that tells you how to go and, you know, what are the login and password and what are the steps you can go through to test all the different features. I think that's all. Yes. Basically, the way it works is, at a particular, if you have a collection and you set a policy at that collection, and that policy said read, that means that all the object in that collection is readable to that particular role. Now, if you have a particular object inside that collection where you want to say, I want to deny this object from that person, then you can just go to that object, click on the access control menu for that object, and say, for this person, I want to deny. And that policy, because it's at a lower level, it will take precedence over the collection level. And of course, the same applies. If you apply a particular policy at the data stream level, then that will take precedence over the one at the object level and also take precedence over the collection level.
That's doable in the policy?
Yes. Basically, you just click on the data stream and you just say, I want to deny. Yeah. The other thing is, you can actually set a policy that says, for example, at the collection level, you can say, I want to allow everyone to read every object in this collection, but I want to deny objects where, say, their MIME type is application.zip. So if someone then go and try to look at that object, if that object have multiple data stream, and one of the data streams is a zip file, then they won't be able to see it, but all the other one they can. And we have a demonstration of that where basically you can upload an IMS zip file, and as a student, they can actually play the IMS zip file, but they cannot download the zip file. Only the staff or the teacher can actually download the zip file. So, you know, that's the kind of GUI that you can, the access control GUI you can do.
All right.